We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and today we will discuss the task of mimachik. What is mimachik? So, in preparing hides for the Mishkan, they used to smooth out the hide. When you slice the leather, the hide, off of an animal, so then it's rough, and you have to take out the hairs, you have to smooth it. Smoothing it out is called mimachik. You want to write on it, you want to make it into parchment, or you want to make it into hide, you have to smooth it out. So the act of mimachik was actually pulling out the hairs from the hide, or peeling off a layer of the skin. So if someone were to do that on Shabbos, pluck out the hairs from the hide, or from even a chicken skin that he was going to use later on, and that's why he's pulling out the hairs, so that would be a biblical prohibition on Shabbos, smoothing out the hide. Where does this come up? Sometimes people would have a new sandal, a leather sandal, and there are little strings coming out of the leather, which you'd like to cut off and smooth out the leather of the sandal, so that would be mimachik, yeah? If you're going to cut that off. Yes. No, that's what I said. If you're going to use the hide. No, combing your hair or your beard, you're not going to use that hide, right? What? That's not, anyways, you have a beard plucking out of there. It's not like you're smoothing out the surface. It might be other problems. It might be gozes drabanan. It might be other issues. But to say it's mimachik, I don't think so. Okay, so where else do we have mimachik? Mimachik is also relevant in other items. If you have a metal cup or a metal vessel that you're going to smooth out with sandpaper, or you're going to smooth it out, so that could also be mimachik if you're going to use sandpaper. What else? So in their times, there were many things. Their metals were more easily affected. In our days, if you use a scouring pad to clean a pot, you're not smoothing out that pot. You're lucky if you're getting the dirt off the pot. That's our metals. So where else do we have mimachik? So mimachik is where I'm making something smooth. I have something which has protrusions, like the hide that has hairs coming out, and I'm going to smooth it by removing those protrusions or flattening it out. So an extension of that is mimareach. Mimareach is if I'm going to flatten something out. So shmearing something. This comes up when we want to put on a medication. So if you're going to take a gel and smear it on, flatten it on, let's say a baby has a diaper rash. So you, after you change his diaper, you want to put on diaper rash ointments. Even though when we speak about children, we say children are you're allowed to do things for children as though they were a chole she'ein bo sakana. We give them the leniency. Children's needs are treated as though they were ill, just as we're lenient for the sake of an ill person. It's not pikuach nefesh, it's not chole she'yesh bo sakana, but it's still a leniency. We are lenient to help the sick on Shabbos. So, nonetheless, that would not permit mimareach. So what we do is we dab on a cream. And this is true even if a person has a cream that they need, an antibiotic ointment, or some other type of cream that's necessary and permissible on Shabbos, we still say, don't smear it on. That's mimareach. You dab it on, meaning you take the cream and you touch the places you want the cream to be. You're not going to smear it on. Let's say a kid has a cold or a person is very congested. So they're going to take Vicks VapoRub. So theoretically, it's much better if you rub it into the chest. But you know what? It works just fine if you dab it onto the chest. That's also good. Same thing with Bengay. Again, you wouldn't always be allowed to use these creams because on Shabbos we don't use medication unless there's a real need. That's a whole separate sugya. It has to be a certain level of need in order to permit using medication on Shabbat. But the issue here is mimareach. So in a second we'll see more applications. Yes?
The way in which you would dab in order to avoid the noise of maids or cream, in order to avoid mimareach, would you not be able to put it with enough pressure that it would spread at all? I mean, if you take some of the homer, you put it on your finger and then you dab it. The more you push down on it, the more it's going to spread on its own, even without mimareach. Does that
right, the question here is, am I flattening it? Anything, are you flattening it, or you're just putting it on?
If you're flattening it, that also counts.
That runs into mimareach, but we don't flatten it. Usually, if it's a cream, or even if it's an ointment, you're touching just enough that it should stick on there.
See, that works for desitin, right, for the diaper.
Right.
But when it comes to things like you mentioned, for Bengay and Vicks, there, the pushing in makes a big difference because that thing. But then, you know, you live with it. I mean, the question I was going to ask, when you say, you know, in general medicine, unless there's a real need, you avoid, is the standard with kids is the same or very different?
No. For kids, we say, any need that they have is considered a big need. That's what I said, that they're always considered like a cholesh in bosakana. So you don't say, well, it's a diaper rash, it's not yet bleeding. We don't say that. The kid's needs are treated as... It's still, the child's needs are treated as though he's ill. It's irrelevant, even if yes, no... When you start hitting 9, 10, there it's a question if you treat him as a child.
Right.
But 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, we're still treating him as a child. No, here not. Yeah. We come back here. Okay, so where is this relevant? A person gets a cut and they're concerned that it shouldn't get infected, so they want to put on a Band-Aid with antibiotic ointment. You could put it on. You can't smear it on the Band-Aid. That you can't do. There we run into a problem of mimareach. Where else do we run into a problem?
If you dab it onto the Band-Aid, you put the Band-Aid on with the amount of pressure that it's going to be that flattens the... No, so you have to put the Band-Aid on...
It's more correct to put it on... If you're going to smear it by pressing the Band-Aid, you've smeared it. The idea is I'm not smearing it. I don't have to go crazy with how tight it's going to be on, but I do have to, I put it on. It's not, today I saw an interesting thing last year in the United States. They sell Band-Aids with medicine built in, antibiotic ointment built in. I don't know how good this stuff is, but it's good to know because sometimes you get a panicky kid. And go dab on an ointment onto him, right? So you're much better off with these types of Band-Aids. I didn't say that. What else? So Chazal said, because ordinarily when people put on bandages, they put them on and they smear on the ointment. So Chazal didn't want us to put on bandages on Shabbos. If you already had a bandage before Shabbos, that's okay. But when we speak about bandages here, that's not a Band-Aid. That's a bandage. That's a bandage of a wound. That's called a ritiya. Chazal did not want you to put on bandages on wounds because the classical way to put a bandage on a wound was by smearing on the medication. So if you do it before Shabbos and you put it on, then you could put it on again, you could return it. And again, as we discussed, there are ways around this, assuming it's a type of a scenario where you could put medication on Shabbat. So then there are ways around it. But Chazal did not want us... The concern was that if if you're going to start dealing with people putting on bandages on their wounds on Shabbos, they're going to end up smearing the medication. There's room when necessary. We would do it before Shabbos, or we would find ways around it. Where else is this relevant? So, in Halacha, it's discussed that when you use solid soap, this is actually written in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Rishonim, when you use solid soap, you have a problem because you are mimareach, you are smoothing it out as you use it. So I heard from my teachers that this was their soap, which was very different than our soap. Their soap, meaning 150 years ago, and going back to 700 years ago, their soap was very, very hard. And it was so hard that it wasn't pleasant to use. And so when you'd use the soap, as you used it, you made it softer, and you wanted to make it softer because it was very coarse. I remember when I was a child, so for Pesach, we had this really stinky soap, and that soap was really very uncomfortable to use. It was like really hard. It's like almost like using a cardboard box. You know, if you could imagine a candle, the bottom of a candle, how rough it is. So that's what the soap was like. There, Chazal said not to use soap. Today, everyone assumes that our solid soaps have the same halacha. It would definitely sound like our solid soaps are more lenient than theirs. But nonetheless, the assumption is people don't use solid soap on Shabbos. People use liquid soap. Rabbi Feinstein held that with liquid soap, you run into the same problem. Rabbi Feinstein said, when you use liquid soap and you add water, you're still smearing it out over your hand. So that's what Rabbi Feinstein held, that you should add water to the soap bottle. That's why you'll see those who come from the United States very often will have diluted soap for Shabbos. Their dish soap and their hand soap is not just liquid soap, it's diluted liquid soap. Now, even according to Rabbi Feinstein, the only problem is, and this is interesting, this I heard from his grandson, the only problem is when you add water to the soap and you smear it. But if you were to take soap as is and smear it all over your hands without water, that's okay, according to Rabbi Feinstein. Then you put your hands under the running water and the soap comes off. That's fine. So I tried this and I got very dry hands. Because you end up, by doing it, you end up keeping your water under the soap and then the hands under the water for so long. It ended up really drying out my hands. It's much easier to do what I do today. And as you just dilute the soap, you add water to the soap before you use it. And then when you're using the soap, even as you add the water, there's no longer a big difference. You're not really making it flatter by adding the water and smearing your hands together. What I just told you is not well known. It's not well known around the world. And in Israel, it's unheard of. People say, I use liquid soap, I'm fine. And that Rabbi Feinstein's opinion has not been accepted. So if a person wants to use liquid soap, they have who to rely on. The fact that Rabbi Feinstein says differently, those who are students of Rabbi Feinstein will go differently, but that's not the accepted halacha in Israel. Most people, most observant, seriously observant people, use liquid soap on Shabbos. Yes?
You mentioned dish soap.
Yes.
Do you have the same problem with smearing on dishes?
That the issue...
If it's diluted, it shouldn't be the same problem, right?
He's saying, l'chora it would be the same thing, because if the logic to be lenient is because it's all going away, well, that's true of the soap on your hand as well. Meaning, why would dish soap be different? You're washing away the soap on your hand just like you're washing away the soap on the dishes.
The problem isn't that it gets absorbed.
The problem is that you're flattening it out with the water.
Flattening meaning diluting?
That's a good question. Why is this called flattening?
You change the texture. You're making it less. I mean, flattening.
You're
diluting it. Flattening
goes longer.
It spreads further.
The truth is that I have no clue. I'll be honest with you. I asked three students of Rav Moshe, And I got three different answers as to what the logic behind Rav Moshe said, and each one said they spoke to Rav Moshe about it. So each one understood him differently. I can tell you what each one said, but it's irrelevant. Bottom line, I have no clue. You know, 20 years ago, I was looking into this, and again, I spoke to Rav Moshe's students. I got three different versions as to why he said it's aser. I don't know. He has a response on it. You could read the tshuva, but I don't know. Yes? I didn't hear you. It's specifically for? I don't know that smoothing one's face is the problem. The problem is smoothing the cream. Meaning, I don't know that doing this to your skin is... I don't know what it is. Maybe bring it in next week. We'll see. I don't know what it is. Okay, we have two more topics really to go here. I guess we'll do it next week. And that is, what about oils? And what about food? How am I allowed to spread butter on my sandwich? Peanut butter, right? Am I smearing? So the answer is I'm allowed. But we'll discuss that. We'll finish that up, Bezat Shem, next week. You're allowed to smear cream cheese and peanut butter and enjoy your Shabbos. And next week we'll discuss that in Memarech Bochlin. Technically, this test does not apply to food. But that's... We'll deal with that next week.